Well, this is Tuesday night again, and this happens to be the 29th of June. We're getting pretty close to the end. Truth for Today Bible Class. I thought I'd take something a little different tonight. We'd study a little bit out of the book of Judges. More than one reason for that. It's a part of the history of Israel, and their history is, of course, is very instructive to us. Warnings and examples and the like. And so we like to go back and go over some of their work. And not only that, but this book of Judges shows you how people can get along without really a real organized government, a king, and so on. And this book of Judges begins almost immediately after they get into the land, after 38 years of wanderings in the wilderness, 40 years from the time they left Egypt. And Joshua took them across, and we have that in the book of Joshua. They took him across the Jordan River, and they took Jericho and some other towns and so on, and then Joshua left the scene. So in the book of Judges, let's start out at chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" Now, of course, they knew they were to fight against the Canaanites. That's what they were there for. They were to exterminate the Canaanites from the land. And so the question is, well, who's going to be first out of the 12 tribes? And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." Now, when you say Judah and his hand, remember that's the tribe of Judah. Judah's been dead many, many years. And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. My likewise will go with thee into thy lot." So Simeon went with him. So they'd work together on this. Simeon helped him with his job, and then he'd help Simeon with his job exterminating Canaanites. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. Now, if you want something interesting to do, I slip through the book of Judges or some of Joshua 2 with your pencil and paper and put down the numbers of people that have been killed in these battles and so on that they have. Here's 10,000 for a start. And they found Adoni-Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. Now that's a nice way to treat a person, isn't it? But let's find out. And Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God has requited me." So he had done the same thing to 70 kings. He cut their thumbs and the big toes off. And then as captives, hostages, and whatnot, they ate at his table. And so he says, "Well, I've got what's coming to me." Rather philosophical, isn't it? And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem. Now you'll have to get this here straight, because remember, Jerusalem is not in the hand of the Israelites yet. Jerusalem did not become a major city and a capital and so on among them until the time of David. And that's a little while after this. In fact, quite a few years. But they are fighting against Jerusalem, and they had. They did over that time a great deal, but they just never was able to push all the folks out and take it over and make it their capital. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And after the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley. Now, in the mountain doesn't tell you much, does it? Just means hill country. There's a lot of hilly country around the area of Jerusalem. And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now, the name Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, and they slew Sheshai and Hinnom and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And we have that story back in Joshua. And Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now, of course, nether springs means the lower springs. So it's the upper and lower springs. Now, here you have a case where a daughter can get some inheritance. That wasn't too common in Israel, but we find a few cases where a daughter could get an inheritance. It was usually the thing, women didn't have anything in the property. Of course, that would go to her husband. He'd be the one to be boss of it. And the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law. See, Moses' father-in-law was a Kenite living in the land of Midian. And they had come along with Israel, or many of them anyhow, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad. And they went out and dwelt among the people, that is, the Jews. Now, the city of palm trees is ordinarily means Jericho. Remember, Jericho was in a much nicer climate than Jerusalem was, which was only between 20 and 30 miles away. About a 2,600-foot difference in the level. Jericho was almost 1,300 feet below sea level. I guess it would make it more than that, because Jerusalem was 2,600 feet above sea level. So it would make a great deal of difference, that's right. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. Or Hormah. And I think that means utter destruction, yes. Also, Judah took Gaza. Now, you hear that in the news once in a while. During the times of Saul and David, that was one of the big strongholds of the Philistines. That's right. That's in the history right over there now. It's making history, Gaza Strip. And you remember that one time there was a man that got shut up in the city and they were going to get him. They closed the great big gates, the big oaken gates with iron bars and trimmings on them, so on, make them strong and couldn't bat them down very easy. And this man took the gates on his back and took them out and carried them out the hill and dumped them and left. Samson. So that's a little story of Gaza. Yes, it's been in history for a long, long time, like Damascus, for instance, about the oldest city in the world, possibly. And so Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof and Ascalon, and that's, you can find that in the maps too, with the coast thereof and Ekron with the coast thereof. Now, you should look in your notes here on coast. Means the borders. and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley. That is, he could go to handle them in the hill country, all right, but he couldn't in the lowlands, because they had chariots of iron. They couldn't operate those in the hills very well. They were fine for warfare in the valley where the ground was level. Now remember, these folks were pretty good back in those days with that, but a chariot of iron and a driver and one or two soldiers in it with their weapons. They could get pretty close to the enemy and sweep around and do a lot of slashing. That was sometime after this that they put scythe blades on the hubs of the chariots and drive close to the enemy and mow them down. That's a later invention. But the fact that they had chariots of iron, that takes you right back to where Egypt was the one who invented the chariots of iron to start with. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. He was one of the big giants. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. That's where you get your name, Jebusalem, Jebus, the city of the Jebusites. But the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. So the Jebusites are still dwelling in Jerusalem, are they? With Benjamin. Oh, you're going to have to take into account when this was written, don't you? But you know a lot of folks do that in the Bible, is see something like that and grab it and run with it. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, the house of God, and the Lord is with them. And the house of Joseph sent to describe Bethel. Now, the name of the city before was Luz. And when we were storing the study of Jacob, you remember that he changed it to Bethel. He said, surely the Lord is here. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, entrance to the city, and we'll show thee mercy. When he showed them the entrance to the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go of the man and all his family. Now, I wonder, did he do the right thing, or was it do that or else? We have a story in Roman history where something like that happened. The enemy was besieging the city of Rome, and a little girl would slip out at the side gate and get water and go back into the city. And so some of the soldiers sort of got friendly with her, and they had a lot of ornaments and so on their arms and wrists, bracelets with a lot of jewels and so on. They said to her, well, if you'll open the gate for us, I will give you the ornaments on our left arms. She did. Well, the ornaments they had on their left arms also were shields. They just piled a whole bunch of those on her and she died. That's how, what you get for betraying your own country and so on. These folks had no respect for her. She was a traitor. I think this fellow didn't have any choice. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. And neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Now you see here at the onset that there's both success and failure. Now, if they had had the faith that they should have had, they could have gone there and cleaned out the last one of them. And that's what God wanted them to do. But you see, they didn't have enough faith to do it. Judah and Simeon seemed to be pretty much a leader in that. And old Benjamin didn't do too bad, but they shouldn't have left these Jebusites living. And so you watch this story and see how things go. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. They'd rather pay than to fight. Israel was too much. and did not utterly drive them out, which they were supposed to do. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in the Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Chitron, nor the inhabitants of Naholal, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Now here was a people that were so bad that God wanted all of them killed off. And you see how Israel is compromising here, what's going to happen if they start living with these people, intermarrying with them and so on. Well, we'll go on and find out. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon. Tyre and Zidon. Sidon, this is Zidon here. This is the same city. Nor of Alab, nor of Axib, nor of Helbath, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh. And that was a bad thing. Or the inhabitants of Beth Anna. He dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anna became tributes unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain. He couldn't stand against them at all. So he ran for the hills. For they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in Mount Heres and Ajalon and in Shalbim. Ajalon is mentioned once in the Bible in the long day of Joshua. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up of Arakabim, from the rock and upward. Now there you have the different tribes and how they got along and what they did. It seems that Simeon and Judah was about the only ones who really did succeed. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. And they've been doing it. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my vows. Why have ye done this? The day of accounting comes. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Sorry. But how sorry? Sorry enough to quit their mingling with these idolaters and so on. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed her unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Didn't they teach their kids? The next generation doesn't know the Lord. What's the matter? Nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Didn't they tell them? Right. Gotten in the wrong company. Of course, I think you remember that Joshua, he was one of the fellows that wanted some of the toughest country to conquer if there was, and he did. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Now Baal means Lord. And Ashtaroth, I think if you look at your note here, I just give you a special evil of Canaanite nations, name derived from the Asherah, and was idolatry, the most revolting forms of immorality under the guise of religion, all virtue surrendered, and so on. So this is one of the worst idolatries the world's ever known, is worship of Asherah. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers and spoiled them. They'd be roving bands of marauders, robbers, and so on. And he sold them to the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies. And whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them. And they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those who spoiled them. They get about so much, you know, and then they'd yell, "Uncle," and the Lord would help them, but they'd forget that a little bit, and they'd do it all over again. How many judges did they have during the book of Judges that time? Fourteen? One too many. Actually, the Lord only raised up 12. One of them was a usurper. And he killed his brothers and took over the rule for a while. And yet they would not hearken unto the judges. And they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and following other gods to serve them, and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, "Because if this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened to my voice, I will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel." I get this. There's a reason why he's going to leave these enemies. "That I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not." And see whether they're going to obey. "Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua." There you are. Doesn't look so good, does it? Well, we're at chapter 3. Going through this little hurdle here, we get some of these judges here after a while. I got a chart up here so that you can see the names of some of the judges that are mentioned, special ones, and we have some reason back of that too. "Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even so many as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as of poor knew nothing thereof, namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Hermon unto the entering of Hamath." Well, there you got their names. Philistines, Canaanites, Sidonians, Hivites. Well, wait a minute. Here we got another one coming, haven't we? Did we have a number? I thought we did. We just named 5 lords of Philistines, and then all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwell on Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers in the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And more than that. and they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And they were to be a separate, peculiar people. Now, I wonder if some of these things don't happen among God's people today. Christendom. Mixing of the things of the world. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Ashtoreth. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them in the hand of Chushrishatham, king of Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia would be north of them, up between the Tigris-Euphrates rivers. And the children of Israel served Chushrishatham 8 years. Now I think on your chart up there, you have your first 8 given up there. They served this person. Is that right? All right, we're getting a bunch of figures now together. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up the deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So it's family of Caleb must have stayed pretty good. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim and the king of Mesopotamia into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim. And the lad had rest 40 years after 8 years of servitude. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab. There comes the old Moabites again, you see. Moab, one of the sons of Lot, Abraham's nephew. They were a bad lot. Because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. So now Moab's going to give them trouble. And Eglon gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek. I'll just think of that crowd getting in on it. Amalek, Amalekites. That was a bad bunch. The Lord said he'd destroy them and their name would be forgotten. And they did destroy it too. And Ammon, you see, is the other brother here of Moab. And he went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees, Jericho. Well, it's the first city that they'd gotten when they got in the land. And so, the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. You see that on your chart. Now we got 8, we got 18. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up to them a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. By the way, we find in the Bible practically all the tribe of Benjamin are left-handed. And they were slingers in war, and they were very good at that. Left-handed. They said that they were so accurate that they didn't miss. Well, David did a pretty good job with a sling too, but he didn't belong to the tribe of... Wait a minute. David? He belonged to the tribe of Judah, that's right. I was thinking King Saul, he was of the Benjamin. And so was Paul in the New Testament. All right. And by him, children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. They're going to try to bribe him to have peace. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubit length. That's a pretty good long dagger, at least 18 inches, from 18 to 26 anyhow. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh, hidden weapon. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. And he himself turned again from the quarries that were of Gilgal. Quarries there means possibly statues, idols. And said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. So I just left the two alone. And Ahud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ahud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ahud put forth his left hand, being left-handed, you see, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so it could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Nasty stuff. Then Ahud went forth through the porch, and shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked them. Well, when he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covers his feet in summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. So Eglon is finished. And Ahab escaped while they tarried and pressed beyond the quarries and escaped unto Cyrus. And it came to pass in his come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountain, and he went before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. That's a period in between. But after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. He must have been a husky fellow to take an ox goad and kill 600 men. Sounds like Samson's exploits, doesn't it? He must have been a fast worker. Now, Shamgar is a third judge. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ahud was dead. And the Lord sold him into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. And that make a racket of going over stony ground. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And he got a 20 years there. And Deborah. Oh, here comes a woman on the scene. A prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth. She judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, judge number 4, of Abinoam out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun? And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then will I go. Kind of chickened out, didn't he? And if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. Now see what she says. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. So he's not going to get the glory. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent into the plain of Zanon, which was by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was come up Mount Tabor. I don't think that is very nice of the relatives of Moses to betray Israel like that. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles and the river Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera, and all his chariots and all his host, with the edge of the sword before Barak. So that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. Must have got pretty hot, the battle, and leave his chariot and run on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host, unto Harosheth of the Gentiles. And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. Now getting back to the Kenites again. These relatives of Moses. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her in the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said to her, stand in the door of the tent, and this will be when any man doth come and inquire thee, and say, is there any man here? Thou shalt say no. Now, was she doing some trickery here? It may be. I'm not too sure about it. I have had other ideas about it, but I'm not too sure about it. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. That's a tent stake. And took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So he didn't get the glory that day. But a woman did. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Then sang Deborah and Barak. Must have been a duet. And sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, hear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise unto the Lord God of Israel. Remember, back in those days, it was common for people to make up a song or something like that in the various highlights in their lives. Remember the song of Miriam and Moses when they crossed the Red Sea, and of course we have it even in the New Testament. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, and thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dripped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even at Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the village ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. There was war in the gates. Was there a shield or a spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? Remember at that time, whenever people subdued Israel, or they take away their weapons and their smiths, and so they couldn't make anymore. My heart is toward the governors of Israel. I guess I'm at the right place, yes. That offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment, and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of Archerism, the place of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Ahinoam. And he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim there was a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people. Out of Maker came down governors. Out of Zebulun they that handle the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar, they were with Deborah. Even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, there was great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the blating of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. That's creeks or bays, breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought. They fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. This is a long song here. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away, the ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hoofs broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye Merah, said the angel of the Lord, curse ye bitter the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer, and with the hammer she smote Sisera, she smote off his head, when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. When he bowed, there he fell down, dead. The mother of Sisera looked out a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Her wise ladies answered her, yes, she returned answer to herself. Have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two? You see the habits of people in those days, taking prisoners and so on. To Sisera, a prey of diverse colors, a prey of diverse colors and needlework, a diverse colors and needlework on both sides, meet for the next of them to take the spoil. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as a sun when it goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. Well, that's quite a story. Well, it's rough and ready back in those days. But I don't know. Was it any worse than some of the violence and so on we have going on in our country today? And people who ought to know better? These were around heathen people and not too far from heathenmen themselves. These Israelites. Well, our time is up, so we'll have to start with chapter 6 next time.